Chapter 40, our turn to massacre them. When he left the jungle city, he came upon a small village and saw a group of people near the clean water truck in the town square. Azrael made it to the truck and passed out on the hard ground. When he came through, a woman stood before him. He was in a very modest private dwelling. At first glance, he thought it was a supply shed. After looking further, he saw it was her home. Pending apocalypse and what have you, it was a very decent shack. She had treated his wounds, which were minor. After he was miraculously healed by Yodava, he only had cuts on his feet from walking 30 miles barefoot, and a scrape on his face when he hit the ground. He was clothed when he woke up. She held a plastic cup in her hands. "Water?" she asked softly. "Yes," Azrael said hoarsely, and gulped down the precious fluids. "Praise Yodava," she said aloud. Then she looked at him nervously. "I'm sorry," she apologized. "You soldiers don't believe in God, do you?" she added. "No, praise God," Azrael said, knowing with confidence there were godlike beings far greater than himself. While he didn't believe Yodava was God, seeing his awesome power made him believe in the concept of one ultimate supreme being. "Did you get the..." he began. "The mark?" the woman answered. "No, many of the resistance has been hiding out here." "Resistance?" Azrael asked. "Yes, we're active members of the Doomsday Prophets," she confessed. "You were a soldier?" she asked. "How did you remove your mark? This is always certain death. You must have fled the battle pretty quickly. You have no serious injuries," she mentioned. "An archangel did it, and a little help from the man himself," Azrael replied. "Who?" she asked. "Yodava Christ. Who else?" he told her in a sarcastic tone that led her to believe he was joking. She laughed like he was kidding. "I believe you bumped your head in the battle. Perhaps that's how you got that scar," she said, feeling his skull for signs of concussion. "You fled the battle on your own?" "Where is everyone else?" the woman asked. "They're all dead," he explained. "That can't be right," she insisted. "There were over 2 billion men fighting," she persisted. "Yes, and they're all dead," he told her assertively. "There's a lake of blood in the valley of Megiddo. You can paddle a kayak through the blood of the fallen," he vented. "Yodava," he muttered. "What was he like?" the woman asked. Azrael shuddered. "Like something out of my worst nightmare," he assured her. The woman laughed again. "You have received a mighty blow to the head indeed, little soldier," she said, confirming she could not identify him. She thought he was an injured deserter fleeing the war. She had no idea he was Azrael Augustus, Emperor of the World. "What's your name? Do you know what day it is?" she asked, testing his cognition. He lied, and the only name he could muster was Nero, he said aloud and regretted it immediately. "And today is, he pondered to think because he had been in a coma for years and he had no reference of the day. "Tuesday?" he questioned. "I don't have the slightest idea," he concluded. "It's definitely Sunday, Mr. Nero," she said suspiciously. "Some say he was the Antichrist," she leaned in to whisper. "But we all know the true Antichrist was Azrael Augustus," she confessed softly. "You are a deserter of the war, yes?" she asked the man she thought was Nero. Azrael played into her suspicion. "Yes." He shook his head. "Perhaps you would be open to conversion," she suggested. "Tell me more," Azrael requested. "If it is as you say, then our Lord and Savior Yodava Christ has vanquished the Antichrist and his armies. By faith you have survived. This is a sign you are to join our cause," she explained. It's our duty to purge the world of the non-combatants in preparation of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. She told Azrael, showing him her weapons cache and the green wooden crate. The woman had several AK-47s and older bolt action rifles, at least 10 pistols. Azrael saw a few Glocks mixed in with a handful of grenades. She had several green metal cans of ammunition sitting next to the cache. Kill the non-combatants, Azrael thought. Like Yasmin and her child, he corrected himself. Our child, he considered. What do you mean, purge? Azrael asked, playing dumb. I mean, kill them, silly. It's our turn to massacre them, as our Lord, Yehovah, has changed the tides of battle, she explained. Yehovah killed all the combatants in the Battle of Armageddon, Azrael insisted. The only people left are the unarmed women and children, Nero protested. They are genetical abominations. They corrupted their genes with the Imperial Biometric Interface Mandate. They cannot be permitted to breed, let alone live amongst the faithful, she explained. I'm being rude, she confessed. Here I am asking you to commit mass murder, and I haven't even introduced myself, the woman admitted. I am Helga Cross, the founder and leader of the Doomsday Prophets, she spoke. Ever heard of us, soldier boy? She asked. Yeah, Azrael replied. I thought you were hackers, he said casually. We have our roots in cyber strikes, she admitted. We didn't directly participate or finance the assassination attempt with CPLA, but they did use our software to attack the blockchain. She bragged. Then shortly after Duke renounced Christ on TV, the true radical, Navy SEAL-like believers flocked to the Doomsday Prophets. This is our compound, Helga said, showing him the view from the doorway. It was a respectable bare base along the mountains. He looked out over the valley and saw 100 Desert Tan tents, each capable of housing 10 people apiece. This led Azrael to believe their troop strength was at least 1,000 men. With his armor and sophisticated weapons, he wouldn't mind those odds. Now he was unarmed and not at his full fighting strength. The only way out was through cunning. Yeah, I'll play, he lied. Excellent, she said, handing him an AK-47 with a smile. Praise God, she prayed. I knew you would join. You have the mark of the Lord on your forehead. It's the only scar on your body, she said, pointing to his peculiar scar Yehovah left on his forehead when he healed him. Helga took Azrael to meet the raiding team in a large tent. There were 80 tough-looking warfighters, men and women alike, all ages and color. Most wore civilian clothes, sportswear under body armor, and Kevlar helmets. They were planning to raid Mount Amun and kill everyone alive in there. That's him, the middle-aged commando in tan cargo pants barked. That's the fucking Antichrist, the man insisted, reaching for his sidearm. He walked over to him for a better look. You got some good plastic surgery and some uncanny prosthetics, the commando said. But it's definitely him, he told Helga. Whoa, watch where you're aiming that, Helga told the man, waving the gun. That's impossible, Sean, she said, standing between the man she thought was Nero and her comrade, pointing the .50 caliber Desert Eagle. The Antichrist was known to have numerous injuries and prosthetic replacements. This man is completely whole. His face isn't blown off like the devil's was. Believe me, I saw the same resemblance, and I ran some tests. There isn't a single metal or polymer bone in his body, let alone any type of computer chip or IBI. The only scar on his body is the mark of our Lord Yehovah, she said in Nero's defense. Don't you see? Helga asked, pointing to the strange scar on Nero's forehead. Sean holstered his pistol. I don't know what type of fuckery and sorcery healed your scars, but I know a devil when I see one, the man assured Azrael. I'm watching you, pal, the suspicious commando said. they approached the gates to Mount Amun, formerly known as God's Temple, with the intentions to drive out and execute all the residents with the mark of the beast. "Now it's our turn to slaughter them," Helga told the passengers on the bus. The hit squad cheered as they approached the former temple. "Weapons hot," she ordered as she loaded a round into her Kalashnikov. The raiding team echoed, and they loaded their weapons. "They have vehicle bollards up to protect against car bombs," Helga pointed out. "Looks like we'll have to dismount and hump the rest of the way on foot," she instructed, as the driver parked the bus. The team deployed and headed towards the pedestrian gates of the Mount Amun. "Double time!" Helga yelled, and she pumped her fist in the air. This was the command and hand and arm signal to pick up the pace and jog to the objective. Sean ran beside the man, pretending to be Nero. "No scars, no IBI or prosthetics?" Sean asked Nero, expanding upon his suspicions. "Maybe you're a clone of the Emperor," he suggested with scrutinizing eyes. News got out that the First World Order had experimented with clones in the past. "Whatever, man." Azrael repeated his mantra for dealing with haters as he jogged with the 80-man formation to their objective. They approached the space-scraping fortified temple palace. The colossal centurion statues moved from their standing position to kneel in the presence of their emperor. The robot statues had facial recognition, and they identified Azrael and acted accordingly. "Greetings, ominous Amen, Lord and Emperor," the statues said in deep, bellowing voices. "I fucking knew it," the suspicious commando said, raising his weapon to fire at Azrael. The robot statue cut Sean down with a series of high-velocity laser bolts. The static post robots were designed to stop vehicles attempting to run the barriers, so the bolts left holes in Sean's body the diameter of a telephone pole. The twin robot statues adjusted their fire and assaulted the rest of his kill squad. Azrael dropped his AK-47 and picked up the plasma rifle the suspecting commando wielded. He took in the carnage for a moment, then he began to jog the quarter mile to the building. "Good eye, Sean," Azrael said, taking the weapon from the dead man. Sean had a huge hole seared in his chest, and his head hung by a thread of flesh to his laser-burned, disfigured body. "Thanks, gents." He nodded to the robots guarding the city before he heated through the gates to the walkway. There were quite a few zombies on the pedestrian path to Mount Amun. Although the robots cleared the hordes, they kept respawning and filling in the gaps. All able-bodied robots were deployed to the Battle of Armageddon and destroyed. Besides the gladiator statues guarding the entrance, the walkway to the Mount Amun had no security. The dead were crawling out of every side street that connected to the central walkway. Azrael picked them off with his blaster if they crossed his path. A group of four zombies strode towards him with the enthusiasm of a snail. He blasted them with hot blue searing plasma, and they fell to the ground on top of each other. He hopped over the pile of bodies and kept moving. Azrael didn't mind the slow zombies in moderation. To some extent, he found it therapeutic, vanquishing the endless walking dead. He checked his six in response to the sound of fast-moving footsteps. Not slow, sluggish zombies, but full-on sprinting from a group of runners. "Holy shit," Azrael cursed to the sight of charging horror. "The zombies are running?" He wondered how as he quickened his pace. "They're moving like the turbo ghouls from Lesser Heaven." He shuddered as he turned to fire behind him at the race of fast-moving flesh eaters. That only slowed him down, and the loser of this race was Zombie Chow. There were at least 40 sprinting super zombies less than 20 yards away. Azrael fired 10 more futile shots before he dropped the heavy plasma rifle and sprinted to the limitations of his body. He didn't have a battle suit to boost his strength and speed. He was relying exclusively upon his will and physical prowess. The ravishing super ghouls were less than 10 meters in closing. Azrael could almost see the entrance to the ground floor. The howling dead were upon him. Several managed to jump in front of him. Motherfuckers, he cursed, drawing the Glock 19 from his shoulder holster. He was point-blank range, but they moved fast. He shot the animated corpse of a teenage boy in the face two times before it stopped moving. He turned and shot a bearded zombie who was charging his flank. The first shot blew a line of his hair off the top of his head, exposing his skull and brains. The graze didn't faze the undead man, and he continued his high-speed pursuit with lashing arms. Azrael jumped aside as the man lunged with snapping, dislocated jaws. Azrael fired three times into the dead man's face, burning the flesh with powder because he was so close to the flash. The shotgun was tight and left a huge hole in the dead man's face. He fell still as more undead stepped up to play. A zombie corpse of a young girl charged at him with feasting eyes. He fired the Glock, but it jammed. God damn it, he spat as he slapped the bottom of the magazine before pulling the slide of the weapon back. The dirty round fell out and another round stepped up for duty. Please fire, please fire, please, fuck, he screamed as the gun malfunctioned again. He pistol whipped the little zombie and knocked the bottom of her jaw off. It hung by a thread as she still attempted to snap at Azrael's legs. The magazine broke and the bullets fell to ground with the pile of bodies. Azrael threw the gun at another charging ghoul. The barrel clunked him in the nose but did not slow his pursuit. The little zombie with the missing lower jaw was still active. He drew his combat knife from the belt on his back and stabbed her in the eye and twisted the blade. He sidestepped as he stabbed her again in the temple before charging the ghoul he smote with the Glock. Get some, you son of a whore, he shouted as he high-kicked the ghoul in the face. It was superfluous. The zombies detached his jaw and prepared to feast. I'll be here all day, he said as he watched the zombies encircle him. He scanned for an opening and rushed and rolled. He dove between the legs of the entrenching zombie huddle and quickly rolled outside of it. This confused the lurching dead, and they dove upon each other in a frenzy. Azrael sprung to his feet and ran 10 meters to the main entrance of the ground floor. The facial scanners recognized him as the thick polycarbonate blast doors slid open. Azrael ran and sighed and turned to watch the door close on the arm of a rushing zombie. The arm was severed and continued to twitch while the undead owner and the mob of super zombies banged on the door with overwhelming force.